الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا ومطاعنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الذين قالوا ربنا الله ثم استقاموا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا تتنزل عليهم الملائكة ألا تخافوا ولا تحزنوا وأبشروا بالجنة التي كنتم توعدون نحن أولياؤكم في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة ولكم فيها ما تشتهي أنفسكم ولكم فيها ما تدعون نزلا من غفور رحيم صدق الله العظيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنكم على بينة من ربكم ما لم تظهر فيكم سكرتان سكرة الجهل وسكرة حب العيش وأنتم تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتجاهدون في سبيل الله فإذا ظهر فيكم حب الدنيا فلا تأمرون بالمعروف ولا تنهون عن المنكر ولا تجاهدون في سبيل الله والقائلون يومئذ بالكتاب والسنة كالسابقين الأولين من المهاجرين والأنصار أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم Respected علماء الكرام, elders, beloved brothers in Islam, it is only the grace, the mercy, the favor, the tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have been given this opportunity to gather on the nisbat of the love of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you have to analyze and look at this gathering, our elders tell us generally in the hidayat talk that is given in the various ijtima'at and the various marakis throughout the world, in that majma' and gathering, there are basically two types of brothers. One is that group that is going to go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the other is that group that is returning back home. These hidayat that are given to us by our elders are relevant and important for both groups. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ Allah Ta'ala refers to a jamaat or a group of people. Ashab Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if you look at the mode of expression of Quran, how does Allah Ta'ala introduce this group? Allah Ta'ala introduces them in the following manner. Allah does not say the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Allah says, وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ There is a group amongst you that has gone ahead. Gone ahead to such an extent that whoever will come after them, wallah, will never be able to reach them. Their maqam, their status. Allah Ta'ala does not have rishta or lineage or link with anyone. Allah zat lam yalid walam yulad. Allah does not beget, nor was He begotten. So if there is a group amongst you that has been raised over every other section of the ummah to come after, it is not because of any link or rishta or any other preference that Allah has raised them over the rest of the ummah. It is because of their qualities. It is because of their sifat. It is because of their attributes and the mode of expression of this verse of the Quran. Allah is raising the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah is saying to the rest of the ummah, these are your role models. These are your imams. Follow their way. And to further place the stamp of approval upon them, Allah Ta'ala, in the same verse, we find the suffix coming later on. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is happy with them and they are happy with Allah. They have gone ahead, O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that is coming after them. Follow them. Make them your own models. Mold your life upon them. And as I mentioned, it is because of their sifat and their attributes. What particular sifat and attributes? Allah Ta'ala mentions in this verse of the Quran, مِنَ الْمُهَاجِرِينَ وَالْأَنصَارِ وَالسَّابِقُونَ الْأَوَّلُونَ من المهاجرين والأنصار. In Sahaba, at any given time, there was only two groups. What are these two groups? Muhajirin, those who strove in the path of Allah. Wal Ansar, and those who in their localities made the nusrat of the effort of the deen of Allah and made nusrat of the jamaats that had come out in the path of Allah. Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Lat Sahib Damat Barakatuh, he says there was no third group. Amongst the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was only two groups. And likewise in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there has to be only two groups. This Ummati at any given time, he will align himself with any one of these two sifat. Either he is making hijrat, striving in the path of Allah, or he is making nusrat, he is involved in the local work in his locality. There is no third mashghala, no third involvement for this ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, according to this verse of the Quran. And then Allah Ta'ala, look at the beauty of the manner of expression of Quran. Allah says, those who have gone ahead, Ashabu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they are muhajireen, they are ansar. And then what does Allah say? وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ وَالَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوهُمْ بِإِحْسَانِ. The door has not closed on them, O Ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, till Qiyamah. Every one of you who will follow them, every one of you who will follow them, radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah is pleased with them, they will be pleased with Allah. So these two jamaats that exist amongst us, one is the jamaat and group that is going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other is that jamaat and group that is going home. They are not just going home to get back involved in their businesses or get involved with their families. No, my respected brothers, 48 hours we have spent in this environment of the ijtima'. We have heard of the gham, of the pain, of the worry, of the sorrow of Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The concern and pain that our Nabi had for this entire humanity. How each person can be saved from Jahannam and go to Jannat. We have heard that through the barakat and the blessings of the khatm-e nubuwwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hum, this worry, this concern of Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not end with him, wallah, but he handed it over to every ummati. Every one of us, every reciter of kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam,
till Qiyamah has been made zimedar, has been made responsible to become the vicegerent of Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam on this earth. 100% the deen of Allah. 100% the deen of Allah. In the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to come alive in 100% of humanity, that is the goal and objective of every one of us. Every person that has brought iman in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, every person that has brought iman in the khatm nubuwat of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, no new Nabi is to come. Everyone that has brought iman on this has to accept this responsibility, that it is my maqsad, my purpose, the object of my life, that 100% the command of Allah in the way of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam has to be established in 100% of humanity. This is why this ijtima took place. To give us this understanding, to remind us of the sabak and lesson that we forgot. Maulana Ihsan Sahib, Allah give him long life, one of our elders, on one such occasion like this, when Jamaats were returning, this is that message that he put in front of us. That now that you have understood your responsibility, that Allah has sent you, Allah has selected you, Allah has chosen you, so that the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam can be established on this earth. So that 100% Allah's command in the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam can be established in this earth. Allah has sent, selected and chosen you for that. Each one of us that is returning home, ask ourselves this question. Ask ourselves this question. Have we achieved our objective? Has the deen of Allah been established? Or look around us. In an environment, 6 or 7 billion insan on the surface of this earth. 5 or 6 billion of them, if they die now, they are going to Jahannam forever and ever. Like ants, this humanity is running in droves towards Jahannam. Of the believing ummah, more than 95% is away from the masjid. Every command of Allah is being broken. Every car that is passing on the street in front, every individual that is passing on the street in front, whether it's music, whether it's some other wrong, every command of Allah, in some way or the other, every person that is moving around us in some way or the other is breaking some command of Allah. Walk into the homes, how many commands of Allah are being broken? In an environment like this, the question we have to ask ourselves, once we have understood that Allah has sent us to be His and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's representative on this earth. Once we have understood that, we have to ask ourselves a question, that in this current situation and circumstance, when Jahannam is burning in every direction, we were supposed to fulfill the legacy of Rahmatul Alameen, that Nabi who was a mercy to the entire humanity. Is it permissible for us to go back home? Does someone go on a trade mission? Or does someone leave his house for some worldly objective? And then halfway, without even realizing his objective, return back easily like that? You went to go sell that container. You went to go sell that parcel. You went as a rep to some business. Do you just go there, present your message, and whether they buy it or not, without any interest, just return back? When we have not fulfilled our objective, my respected brothers, this is a serious matter. We have to ask ourselves, happily, gladly, is it okay for us to go back home? Go back to our families, carry on with our wepari as we were carrying on before. The reality, my respected brothers, if you look at the current situation and circumstance of the ummah, few years ago, Raibin Ishtima, Maulana Umar Sahab, Rahmatullah Ali, at the end of the Ishtima, he made an announcement. He said, agar haq dekha jaye, He said, if the truth had to be told, if the truth had to be told in the current situation that is facing this ummah, what is the need? What is the requirement? He said that every one of you go home. Gather your belongings. Gather your requirements. Gather your family together. Make al-wida with them. Bid them farewell. Or phir apne kafan lekar Allah ke raaste mein niklo. And then take your kafan and go out in the path of Allah. He said, agar haq dekha jaye, if the truth that to be told, that is the need and requirement with the current situation of this ummah. But our elders, through their shafqat, through their kindness, they are not telling us that. Maulana Ihsan Sahab, in this majlis, he said, it is not permissible for you to go back. Except permissibility can only be created as long as your returning is with three qualities. What three qualities? He said, firstly with istighfar. Firstly with istighfar. With genuine regret in the heart. We heard last night our respected guest described the manner in which Sahaba returned who could not go out in the path of Allah. The manner, the kayfiyat in which they return, Allah Ta'ala mentions it in the Quran. تَوَلَّوْ وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا تَوَلَّوْ وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا. Really, the English language cannot do justice to translating the dard and the pain that is contained in this expression. تَوَلَّوْ وَأَعْيُنُهُمْ تَفِيضُ مِنَ الدَّمْعِ حَزَنًا. Allah describes the Sahaba of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم who couldn't go out in the path of Allah. Allah says they returned back into their homes with the rain of tears falling down their cheeks. And with huzn and grief in their hearts, that they are not able to strive in the path of Allah. So we have to make istighfar. We have to ask Allah for forgiveness. Whatever circumstance, whatever problem, whatever need, whatever requirement, we feel is an obstacle that is stopping us from going out now in the path of Allah. Make istighfar for that. And secondly, whatever little was done, we spent a period of time in this ishtima, in the path of Allah. Not just in the path of Allah, not just an ishtima. We heard, what is this gathering in Allah's court? By the qasam of my Allah, this gathering is a garden of jannat on this earth. This gathering is a garden of jannat on this earth. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told his sahaba, إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. They said, Ya Rasulullah, وَمَا رِيَاضُ الْجَنَّةِ? He said, قَالَ حِلَقُ الذِّكْرِ. He told Sahaba that when you pass by the garden of Jannah, then graze in those gardens. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what are the gardens of Jannah? He said, the gatherings of Allah's remembrance. These gatherings are the gardens of Jannah on this earth. So whatever little was done, we have this. Allah is Kareem. Allah is merciful. Whatever we have done is not worthy of presenting in Allah's court. But we have this tamanna, Ya Allah, you accept it from us. And the third very, very important condition is to talk to Allah. And make this niyat with Allah. And make this ahad and promise with Allah. That Ya Allah, I'm returning back to my home. Ya Allah, I'm returning back to my home, but I'm not returning back so that I can turn my back on this message. So that I can turn my back on my responsibility. So that I can carry on with my dunya as I was carrying on before. No. Ya Allah, I'm returning back home with two intentions. One is, Ya Allah, I'm going to do the local work. I'm going to link and attach myself with the amal of masjid. with the effort that is taking place in my locality. I'm going to work so that the people of my locality can go out in the path of Allah to fulfill this objective. And I myself, the second condition is whilst doing the local work, whilst making nusrat of the jamaats that are out in the path of Allah, whilst linking myself to the amal of masjid, I'm going to make preparation so that as soon as possible, I also can go out in the path of Allah. If our returning home, listen with the ears of Iman, my respected brothers, if our returning home is with these three things, that Hazrat Mawlana Ihsan Sahib, Dawam Barakatuh mentioned, he says, then we will become the misdaq. Then we will have earned the basharat and the glad tidings contained in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein he said, qaflatun ka ghazwatin, the jamaat returning from the path of Allah is getting the same reward as the one striving in the path of Allah. So those that are returning back say, inshallah, we will bring these three things alive. Then inshallah we will get that reward. We will get that reward. Where Rasulullah says, people will be returning home. People will be going back to their families. But Allah will be giving them the same reward as the ones who are striving in the path of Allah. This striving in the path of Allah is coming out in Allah's path, my respected brothers, those jamaats. Just now musafaha will take place. We are required to look at them with envy. Just looking at them, going out in the path of Allah is a form of reward. Such a maqam, such a status. The one who goes out in the path of Allah, wallah, it is not his wealth. It is not his intelligence. It is not his financial circumstances, not his ability. Nothing besides the tawfiq and the acceptance of Allah has enabled him to take one step in the path of Allah. Great Nabi of Allah, Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam, he says, وَمَا تَوْفِيقِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْهِ أُنِيبُ. Great Nabi. And Nabi, what is he saying? Allah says in the Quran, what does Nabi Shu'aib alayhi salam say? That, Ya Allah, whatever I have done, it is with your tawfiq. It is Allah's acceptance, Allah's favor, Allah's mercy, Allah's bounty upon us, that we have been enabled to take even one step out in the path of Allah. This is not an ordinary path. This is that path that has a direct link and nisbat with the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. This is why the first step a person takes in the path of Allah. What does Quran tell us? يَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Allah forgives all your sins. Allah forgives all your sins. Comes in the riwayat, لَا يَبْقَى عَلَيْهِ مِثْلُ جَنَاحِ بَعُودِ. Sin equivalent to the wing of a mosquito does not remain on him. Why? Why? Because his nisbat, his link is with who? He's going out in the path of Allah to do whose work? The work of Anbiya alayhimus salam. And what was the quality of Anbiya alayhimus salam? Anbiya were ma'asum, they were sinless. So this person going out in the path of Allah, Allah says, you are doing the work of Anbiya. Let me give you the quality of Anbiya. You are also sinless, all your sins forgiven. Not only sinless, but according to the riwayat, like the dua of Anbiya were accepted, the one striving in the path of Allah, his duas will be accepted. One sahabi came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He said, Ya Rasulullah, kayfa li an unfiq min mali kullihi hatta ablugha darajat al mujahid fi sabilillah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, tell me, how much money must I spend? How much of my wealth must I spend so that I will get the same reward as the one who is striving in the path of Allah? Look at this question. How much money must I spend in sadaqah and khairat to get the same reward as the one who is striving in the path of Allah? Allah's Rasul asks him the question, wama maluk? Wama maluk? How much money do you have? He says, sitta tu alaf. I've got 6,000 dirhams or dinars, whatever the currency was. I've got 6,000. Allahu Akbar. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tell him? He says, لَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ بِهَا لَوْ تَصَدَّقْتَ بِهَا مَا كَانَ عَدْلُ نَوْمَةِ الْغَازِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. He says, oh my Sahabi, if you spend everything that you've got, if you spend everything that you've got, you will still not get the reward of one who is sleeping in the path of Allah. Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion he enters one of his orchards, his gardens. He's a Sahabi well known for his wealth. In front of him are 30 slaves. He says, at one time, all 30 slaves are free. I set you free for the sake of Allah. There was one tabi'i that was present there. When he saw this, those times a slave was a valuable commodity. So he was surprised. So much of reward Allah is going to give you. Free 30 slaves. Allah's Rasul encouraged the freeing of slaves. This was something he practiced before Islam. Islam gradually eradicated it by giving encouragement that Allah will give you so much of reward. In fact, the mafhum of the hadith, that if you free one slave, every limb of the body of that slave will become fidya and ransom for you from Jahannam. His head for your head, his hand for your hand, his feet for your feet. So 30 slaves at one time. The tabi'i is shocked. What reward Allah must be giving you? What does Abdul Rahman bin Auf radiallahu ta'ala say? He says, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ أَفْضَلَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. Should I not show you something that is more virtuous? Should I not show you something that is more virtuous than freeing 30 slaves at one time? So he says, what is it? He says, بَيْنَمَا رَجُلٌ يَسِيرُ عَلَىٰ دَابَّتِهِ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَسَوْتُهُ مُعَلَّقٌ بِأُصْبِعِهِ إِذْ نَعْسَ نَعْسَ فَسَقَطَ صَوْتُهُ فَلَرَدَعْتُهُ بِسَوْتِهِ أَفْضَلَ مِمَّا رَأَيْتَنِي صَنَعَتْ. He says, there is one person who is on his horseback striving in the path of Allah. He has his whip in his hand, clutched between his fingers. Because of tiredness, he dozes off momentarily. Sometimes when you're sitting on a chair, and you got the tea in front of you, you got the teaspoon in your hand, you're very, very tired. When you doze off, what happens? The teaspoon slips from in between your fingers. Because you dozed off. What is the reaction? You get a mild shock. You get a mild shock and you wake up. Why? Because you realize that the spoon has fallen, slipped from your fingers. He says, like that, this person is striving in the path of Allah. His whip is between his fingers. Momentarily he dozes off. The whip slips out from between his fingers. He gets a mild shock. Allahu Akbar. What does Abdul Rahman bin Auf say? On that mild shock in the path of Allah, Allah gives him more reward than freeing 30 slaves at one time. We cannot imagine the extent of the reward that Allah Ta'ala gives for a person striving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person, according to the hadith, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, Ya Rasulullah, show me an amal, show me an amal, show me an amal that has more reward than striving in the path of Allah. It comes in the hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la ajidu, I cannot find any amal that has more reward. That maqam and that status, through the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala is giving for us to come out in His path. My respected brothers, first and foremost, we should make shukr to Allah. We should express our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Unfortunately, when it comes to this concept of shukr, we have this idea that you must make shukr for worldly ni'mats, worldly bounties. A lot of times you go in gush, you meet somebody, what he says, I must make Allah's lakh lakh shukr. By how's things going? How's the business going? I must make Allah's lakh lakh shukr. In other words, a lot of money coming in. Or my business is doing very well. In that context, we understand this concept of making shukr. But what is the reality? I remember a few months ago, there were some brothers from Somalia in our local masjid. So I invited them home for lunch. It was a Friday after Jumu'ah. The brother, his name was Ahmad. He came home. We were having lunch at my mother's place. On the side there was a sink with a tap before we could eat. So I washed my hands and he went to wash his hand. And as he turned the tap, his brother said an ajeeb thing. He said, Maulana, do you realize something? So I said, what? He said, just this facility that you have, that you can walk up to this tap, open it and water come out, and wash your hands so easily, more than 90% of the people of this continent do not even have this facility. More than 90% of the people of this continent don't even have this convenience that they can walk up to a tap, turn it and water comes out. How much shukr of Allah we should be making? The bedding is not right. Facilities in the masjid is not right. Toilets are not right. I'm used to this. The food is not right. How easily we complain? Have we realized what ni'mats, what bounties Allah has given us? This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, "Unzuru ila man huwa asfala minkum, wala tanzuru ila man huwa fawqakum, fahuwa ajdaru alla tazdaru ni'matallahi alaykum." He would say, "Look at those that are less, look at those that have less than what you've got. The more disadvantaged ones. Don't look at those that have got more than what you have. Why? فَهُوَ أَجْدَرُ أَلَّا تَزْدَرُ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. Because this is more conducive. If you look at those that are disadvantaged, then it is more likely that you will make shukr for Allah's ni'mat. What ni'mats Allah has given us? Comfortable homes, good lighting, electric facilities, good amenities at our disposal. What and what ni'mats Allah has given us? That so many are deprived of. And yet how quick we are to complain. This coming out in the path of Allah is practically to teach us to appreciate the ni'mats of Allah. Go to the countries in Africa. Go to other parts of the world and see the condition and realize how much of shukr we're supposed to be making. How much Allah has blessed us with. That we take completely for granted. Nevertheless, coming back to what I was saying, normally we understand this concept of making shukr for things of dunya. My business is doing well, Allah's lakh lakh shukr. But dunya in reality has no value in the sight of Allah. Ya Musa, inna li ibadan law salani al-janna la'ataytuhu bihadafiriha. Oh Musa, Allah addresses Musa alayhi salam, there are some slaves of mine, they have that maqam and that status in my eyes, that if they ask me for jannat, I will give them the whole jannat. But of this dunya, لو سألني غلاف صوت لم أعطه وليس ذلك لهوان له علي ولكن لأدخر لهم من كرامتي يوم هذا اليوم. If they ask me for Jannat, I'll give them the whole Jannat. But of this dunya, if they ask me not for the whip, but the hook on which the whip is hung, that also I won't give them. Why? It is not because they do not enjoy rank and status in my eyes, but I want to save them from the filth and the danasat of this dunya. Dunya in reality has no value in the sight of Allah. What is valuable in Allah's eyes? What is valuable? Mawlana Ubaidullah Sindhi Rahmatullah Ali, one of our elders from Nizamuddin, brothers, people are standing at the entrance. Please try and fill the gaps. Make some space for them, inshallah. There's a lot of place. Sorry? That's it. There's a lot of place on my right-hand side. So brothers that are standing outside, we can just walk a few steps, inshallah, and come on this side. Brothers that are outside are requested to please come inside the tent, mashallah. Allah reward you, right? There's a lot of brothers we can see milling around, walking around outside. Let us try and come into the majma, come in the tent. If the first tent is full, we can sit in the second tent. But please avoid the standing around. Hazrat Maulana Ubaidullah Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, on one occasion he mentioned, he said there are two ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam which begin with this expression, may yuridillahu bihi khayra, may yuridillahu bihi khayra. What does this mean? That who is that person? Who is that person that Allah has decided good for? That person whom Allah has decided good for. One is we desire. What we desire dunya. We ask Allah for dunya. Allah gives us dunya, we must make shukr. Definitely for the favors and the bounties of Allah, we make shukr. But dunya has no value in Allah's eyes. When Allah decides good for someone, what does Allah do? What is valuable in Allah's eyes? One hadith, yufaqqihu fid deen. Yufaqqihu fid deen. May yuridillahu bihi khayra. Yufaqqihu fid deen. When Allah decides good for someone, Allah gives him the understanding of deen. Allah increases his understanding of deen. And the second hadith, may yuridillahu bihi khayra. Yusib minhu. When Allah decides good for someone, Allah puts him through some takleef and some difficulty. Allah puts him through some takleef and difficulty. Who? The one for whom Allah decided good. Normally what we think takleef and difficulty, this is Allah's azab, or this is the end of the world for us. This is because of our lack of understanding. One day's headache for a mu'min, Allah wipes away 1 year's sins. One day of fever of a mu'min, Allah wipes away 1 year's sins. So Mawlana says, Allah decides good for a person two things. One, Allah increases his understanding of deen. Allah puts him through some difficulty. He says, both these things are found when a person goes out in the path of Allah. Definitely his understanding of deen will increase. Definitely he will go through some sort of takleef, some sort of difficulty. Obviously when you leave your home, the facilities that you are used to, you are not going to get out in the path of Allah. Some sort of takleef, some sort of difficulty. Both these things are found. What does it mean? That when Allah gives his banda and his slave the tawfiq to come out in his path, it is already an indication that Allah has made the decision of khair and good for this person. Allah wants to favor this person. That is why he brought him out in his path. So how much more shukr we should be making for this? How much more gratitude we should be showing Allah Ta'ala that Allah has given us the tawfiq to come out in His path. Ulama explain, one is verbal shukr. Alhamdulillah, we thank Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Whilst we are eating, I'm digressing. Whilst we are eating, a lot of times what we do, we're talking about Iran and Tehran, everything else we talk about. But whilst we are eating, that is a great opportunity. We should be making shukr to Allah. Praising Allah Ta'ala. Alhamdulillah. All tarif, all praise to Allah who gave me this food to eat. We may think this is a simple amal. But look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said, "At-ta'imu shakir kas-sa'imi sabir," O kama qala sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah loves this amal of shukr so much that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, on the one hand, you will get a person who is fasting, he is hungry, he is making sabr, Allah is rewarding him. That we can understand. Logically it makes sense. On the other hand, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, someone else is eating and making shukr is getting the same reward as the one who is fasting and making sabr. So much Allah loves this amal of shukr. So we should make shukr to Allah that Allah has brought us out in His path. My respected brothers, one is verbal shukr. One is with our tongue to make shukr to Allah. But more important than that, the greater requirement, what does Allah say in the Quran? I'amalu ala Dawood shukra. I'amalu ala Dawood shukra. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. What does Allah say in the Quran? اِعْمَلُوا. Amali, practically show your shukr. Practically express your gratitude to Allah. And then Allah complains, وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. Very few of my bandas will make shukr. Very few people will make shukr. This shukr, showing our gratitude practically to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is such a great amal. That in this is a Quranic nuskha also. In this is a Quranic prescription also. Lot of times people come, Mauli sahab, make dua, Allah give me istiqamat. We go to the elders and say, make dua, Allah give me istiqamat. Allah has blessed me to go out in His path. Allah has spent 4 months. I'm giving time every year. I'm involved in Amal of Masjid. Allah has blessed me to be involved in the work of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah give me istiqamat. Keep me in the work. Don't take me out of the work. A lot of times we have this fikr. We have this worry. We have this concern. Allah in the Quran has given us a prescription for istiqamat. For remaining in the work. For never being deprived of this work. Of this great ni'mat and bounty. What is that? What is that prescription? وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. Your Rabb Allah announced in His Quran, when you will make shukr, appreciate my favor, make qadr of my ni'mat and my bounty, practically show your appreciation of my favor, لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. This lam and noon mushaddad, ulama explain, when it comes together in an expression in the Quran, it carries the meaning of qasam and oath. Allah says, make shukr of my ni'mat and by my qasam I will increase it upon you. This is a work, it is not a game. This is a great responsibility. Many of us have this mindset and idea that I left my home, I left my shop, I left my responsibility, I left my family, and I came out in the path of Allah, I made qurbani. Our elders say, that is not the qurbani. Leaving your responsibility, leaving your home, leaving your family, that is not the qurbani. What is the qurbani? What is the real sacrifice? What is the real test? Now that you have left all that, now that you have left all that and come out in the path of Allah, to make every second of this time precious and valuable, to utilize it correctly, to practically show Allah, to practically show Allah how you value this ni'mat, that is the qurbani. Spending our time correctly, spending our time correctly in the path of Allah, that is the real qurbani, and that is amali, practical shukr. And what does Allah say? Value this time, spend this time correctly, by my qasam I will increase. By my qasam, I will give you istiqamat. That is the meaning of it. I will give you istiqamat. Ahlu shukri, ahlu ziyadati. I will give more and more my ni'mat upon you. Wala in kafartum inna adabi la shadid. And if you are ungrateful, then the punishment of Allah is very severe. Allah is ghani. Allah does not need anyone. So my respected brothers, Allah has given us the tawfiq and the ability to come out in His path. We have to value this time. Hazrat Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, make your time valuable. Make your time valuable. Waqt ko qeemti banao. Make this time valuable. And how does the time become valuable? He says, waqt qeemti bante hai a'mal se, a'mal se. By spending our time in a'mal, the time will be made valuable. And if we make our time valuable, Allahu Akbar, look how beautifully Hazrat Imam Al-Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah used to say. He used to say, if we make our time valuable, our life will become valuable. And if we make our life valuable, our maut will become valuable. If our maut is valuable, our akhirat will become valuable. So we have to make this time valuable. And how we can make it valuable, our elders say, is by spending these time in those amal and in that manner which our elders have shown us how we have to spend our time in the path of Allah. They say there are four amal. Before we go into that, time is very, very limited. Before we go into those four amal, like that, various muzakaras will be taking place while we are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is impossible in this majlis to do justice to all the various amal. But very, very important, my respected brothers, few salient points here and there, is that every jamaat, there will be an ameer that is appointed in that jamaat. And this ameer does not denote rulership. That now we've got one boss over the rest of us. No. What is Amir? Allah's Rasul said, Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. Sayyidul Qawmi Khadimuhum. He said, the leader of a people is the servant of those people. The Amir is not the Amir of the Jamaat, he is the Khadim of the Jamaat. He is there to serve the whole Jamaat. On the one hand, Allah has given him tashreef. Allah has accepted him to be made responsible, zimedar for that whole jamaat. With that, his level of responsibility increases. That is why it comes in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kullukum ra'in, kullu wa kullukum mas'ulun an ra'iyatihi." Every one of you is a shepherd, and Allah is going to question him with regards to his flock. And then he said, "Al amiru ra'in." The Amir also is a shepherd. Allah is going to question him with regards to his flock. So this is a great, a lot of times people have this tamanna and desire, I want to become Amir. This is a sign of Qiyamah. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that people will desire to become Amir. Should never have that desire. Because the burden of responsibility is so great, Allah is going to question us. Did I appropriate the time of my satis correctly? This appointing of Amir is not a small thing, it's a very great thing. Every one of us, the ma'mur, the rest of the satis of the jamaat, the direct hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alaykum bis-sam'i wa ta'a, alaykum bis-sam'i wa ta'a. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam commanded you that listen and obey your Amir. Wa in kana abadan habshiya, even if it is an Abyssinian slave who is your Amir, obey, listen and obey. I remember in 1993 in Pakistan we were in Jamaat. Our Amir was an alim. It was a 15-day tashkil. After a few days, once initially you are strangers, but going out in the path of Allah, Allah puts that muhabbat. Allah puts that love. That sometimes you become so close to the satis in your jamaat, more closer than you are to your family members also. So after a few days of unsiyat, familiarity, one day I was sitting with this Amir. And I asked him, I said, Mona, tell me how much time have you spent in the bath of Allah? Ordinary, simple, humble person. I can still remember him. How much time have you spent in the bath of Allah? He says, I have been on 5 tashkils, 3 for 1 year, twice for 1.5 years. Those times there were jamaats that used to come out for 1.5 years also. He says, twice I have been 1.5 years out in the path of Allah, and 3 times 1 year in the path of Allah. And yet such humility, no airs about him. So I asked him, tell me something special. Something special that affected your heart, that you noted with all this time. Imagine someone who had spent more than 5 years in the path of Allah. What did he say? He said, once our jamaats were in Raiwin Markaz. And normally it was the practice that the 1 year jamaats, for 15 days, they would get hidayat in the Markaz. We are getting hidayat for 1.5 hour or 1 hour. Those jamaats going for 1 year in the path of Allah, 15 days they would get hidayat. They had to stay in the Markaz in Raiwin. And every day, sometimes 3 hours, sometimes 3.5 hours, Daawat Barakatuh, you would give them hidayat. So he said that on one such occasion, after 15 days had passed of continuous hidayat, Badr Afsab, it was the final day the jamaats were going to go out in the path of Allah. He came in front and what he said, bhai, jo kuch maine in 15 din mein kaha, sab bhul jao. Whatever I have told you for the last 15 days, forget it. Obviously, 15 days of continuous hidayat, how much can you remember? So he said, jo kuch maine 15 din mein kaha, bhul jao, forget it. Not literally forget it. In other words, what I'm about to tell you is more important than all what was told to you. Whatever I've told you last 15 days, bhul jao, lekin ek cheez yaad rakho. Remember one thing, Amir ki itaat. Amir ki itaat. In other words, the khulasa of 15 days of hidayat is one thing. Obey the Amir. Why? Because once you will obey the Amir, it will be a jamaat. A jamaat is not a group of people with different motivations and objectives that is traveling together. A jamaat is a group with one objective, one purpose, one direction. Whatever is decided in mashwara, collectively, by that Amir, what is decided collectively, that has to become the goal and objective of the entire Jamaat. And then this Maulana told me an ajeeb thing. He says, I noticed there was one tashkil of 1 year in the path of Allah. He says, normally what happens, what does Shaitan do? Shaitan makes effort to try and find one person in the Jamaat who is prepared to take on the Amir or oppose the Amir or go against the decisions of the Amir. And once he finds one person who is prepared to question the authority of the Amir, that person obviously will have a few of his own cronies, few of his own satis, and automatically the whole Jamaat will be split. This is why Hazrat Imam Inamul Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, whenever the Jamaats would return from the path of Allah Ta'ala, basically, he would only ask 2 questions. And from these 2 questions, we learn what the mansha of our elders are. From these 2 questions, we learn what the mansha of our elders is. What is the 2 questions he would ask? One is he would ask with regards to how the time was spent. In other words, the general amal that are taught to us while we are out in the path of Allah. How the time was spent. And the second question, Hazrat Imam Hasan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali would ask, is brothers, how much of jor and muhabbat was there in the Jamaat? How much of love and unity was there in the Jamaat? Imagine how much of emphasis our elders are placing upon this. Jor and unity in the Jamaat. Maulana Ihsan Sahib Rahmatullah Barakatuh, he says, Sahaba would be a jamaat of 30,000 in Tabuk. 30,000 out in the path of Allah. No food, no water. Ration, 10 people sharing one camel. The ration of one khajur, one date, per person per day. Arduous situation. Normally tempest flare in adversity. Such adversity. Yet 30,000 people will go in the path of Allah and come back, and not one argument will take place. Not one person will insult another one. Not one person will hurt the feeling of another one. Not one person will speak against another one. He says nowadays 10 people go in the path of Allah for just a few days and already arguments are taking place. Very, very integral and important to protecting and preserving the jawr and unity of a jamaat is itaat of Amir. The jamaat has to be a unit around one Amir. So this Maulana said, he said, once I went 1 year in the path of Allah, there were two Saatis in my jamaat that made it their job to cause taklif to the Amir, to trouble the Amir. Always opposing him, always picking on his decision. They made his life a misery. 1 year out in the path of Allah, not ordinary people. These are people that gave qurbani of 1 year in the path of Allah. But this is how they spend their time. He looked at me and he said, Moli Saab, I am telling you my personal experience. I observed both of them leave tabligh. Today both of them are not even making salah also. That level of deprivation, Allah Ta'ala put them into. Allah protect us. So very, very important, my respected brothers, that with every jamaat an Amir is appointed. We have to gather around that Amir, make his task easy. Make his task as easy as possible. And become an assistant to that Amir. And the Amir also, as we mentioned, that is not kingship or rulership, but he is the servant of the Jamaat. And he has to try and ensure that every Saati in the Jamaat spends his time correctly. My respected brothers, we are going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like I mentioned, time is limited. We cannot go into all the various aspects. We will be hearing various hidayat when we go out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we will go out in the form of a jamaat. And let us try and make ihtimam of the sunnah masnoon du'as that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. The du'a of safar when we are going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala. And generally we find that we will be working in various localities. Majority of our time will be spent in the environment of the masjid. We heard the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Last night was mentioned. We have a respected guest. Sheikh said that hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that inna lil masjidi awtada. Inna lil masjidi awtada. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, verily in my ummat, there will be some pegs of the masjid. This word otad is the plural of watad. Watad is when you putting a tent, you knock a peg in the ground. What is the quality of a peg? If you want to take it out, it's not going to come out easily. You have to force it out. Like that, Rasulullah ﷺ said, in my ummah there will be pegs of the masjid. In other words, they will be locked in the masjid. Majority of their time will be spent in the masjid. This going out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, my respected brothers, is to train us in this, teach us this, how our lives can focus and revolve around the masjid, how we can bring alive the amal of masjid, which amal, those amal which used to take place in Masjid al-Nabawi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Centuries have passed, the ummah has moved away from this. Now, practically, we go out in the path of Allah, 40 days, 4 months, whatever period of time, so that we can become adi and habitual to re-establishing those same amal which used to take place in Masjid al-Nabawi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what is the fazilat of this? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna lil masjidi awtada." Verily in my ummah, there will be some pegs of the masjid. What is their maqam? What is their status? Al-Malaikatu Julasa'uhum. Normally, if you look at it from a grammatical point of view, what it should have been? Hum julasa'ul malaika. They will be sitting in the companionship of the angels. But Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't say that. He said, al malaikatu julasa'uhum. What is this difference? Normally when some buzurg or some sheikh or some prominent person comes to our locality, some great alim, what do we say? We say, let us go and sit in his sohbat. Let us go and sit in his sohbat. We will benefit definitely to sit in the sohbat of the ulama is great benefit. In fact, our elders say, meeting the ulama is an ibadat in itself. And we have to meet the ulama, when our jamaats go and meet the ulama, is not with this intention that we are going to give dawah to that alim. No. We gave little bit time in the path of Allah. That alim's whole life is devoted to deen. We are going with the niyat of istifada. We are going with the niyat of getting faida and benefit from that alim. Little bit of kar guzari we can present. And we request him for his du'as. But nevertheless, coming back to what we were referring to. That normally when some buzur come, what we say, let us go in his sohbat. Because we will benefit. What does this hadith mean? Al-malaikatu julasa'uhum. Allahu Akbar. What is Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam saying? That there will be some pegs of the masjid, those whose lives will revolve around the masjid from my ummah. The malaika say to one another, let us go and sit in his sohbat. The malaika say, let us go and sit in his sohbat. In ghabu iftaqaduhum. If he's absent, they look for him. In maridu aaduhum. If he becomes sick, they go and visit him. In kanu fi hajatin aanuhum. And if some need or necessity or requirement has caused him to absent himself and go away from the masjid, the malaika go to assist him to bring him quickly back to the masjid. Such is the emphasis that Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has placed on abadi of masjid. إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلْ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسْجِدْ فَشْهَدُوا لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if you see a person who is habitual of the masjid, making the masjid abad, then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, give shahadat and gawahi, he has iman. It is an alamat and a sign of iman that the life of this ummati has to revolve around the masjid. Buyuti fil ardil masajid. Buyuti fil ardil masajid. Hadith Qudsi. Allah Ta'ala says, my house, my houses on this earth are the masjids. My houses on this earth are the masjids. Buyuti fil ardil masajid. Ummaruhum zuwaruhum. Those who will make the masjid abad are my guests. Whose guests? Allah's guess. And then look at the hadith. What does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says? Tuba, 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 liman tatahhara fi baytihi. Mubarak, glad tidings to that person who makes wudu at home. And then what? What it should have been? Thumma kharaja ila al-masjid. Thumma dhahaba ila al-masjid. Thumma masha ila al-masjid. Then he left his home, went to the masjid, walked to the masjid, went to the masjid. No! Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doesn't say that. He says, Allah says, glad tidings to that person who made wudu. Thumma zarani. Then he came to visit me. He came to visit Allah. Fahakkun ala al-mazuri an yukrima zairahu. It is a right, Allah says, I give him the right that I will make his ikram. This coming out in the path of Allah, my respected brothers. These amal of masjid, what our elders talk about, the five amal of masjid. This hasn't come out of their pockets. This is not something that they dreamt of. This is taken from Quran and Hadith. This is taken from the ta'lim of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is taken from the masjid, amal of masjid al-Nabawi in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We heard the Hadith last night, Jalisul Masajid ala thalathati khisal. The Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, The amal of masjid, those who will stay in the masjid, those who will make the masjid abad, are on three qualities. Akhum mustafad, kalimatu hikmah, rahmatun muntadhara. What is akhum mustafad? One brother teaching another brother the halqa of ta'aleem. Kalimatu hikmah, bayan, gash, dawat, infiradi ijtimai. Rahmatun muntazara, infiradi amal. These five amal of masjid that we are hearing about over and over again are taken directly from the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our daily mashwara that takes place. Our daily 2.5 hours, our elders are begging us, beseeching us. They're saying, give 8 hours a day. If not 8 hours, at least 2.5 hours. If not 2.5 hours, at least some time to the masjid. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Bukhari Sharif hadith. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there used to be one azan. One azan used to be given in the middle of the night. Up till today, when we go for Umrah or Hajj, we hear this azan. And azan is called out 1 hour before the azan of Fajr. Amongst the Hujjaj or the Mu'tamirin of South Africa, we hear this common expression, Tahajjud azan. Tahajjud azan. My respected brothers, Tahajjud azan, this title is a misnomer. There is no azan for Tahajjud. We call it Tahajjud azan. There is no azan for Tahajjud. This azan that is called out is to keep alive the sunnat that used to take place in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that in the middle of the night one azan used to be given. And what was the purpose of that azan? Clearly it is mentioned in the riwayat that those sahaba who had spent the first half of the night in the masjid when that azan used to be called out used to go home. And the other half of sahaba who had spent the first half of the night at home when that azan used to be called out used to go to the masjid. So that sahaba, minimum tartib, half the night they would spend in the masjid, half the day they would spend in the masjid. And this is not when they were out in the path of Allah, this is when they were in Medina Munawara. We are encouraged to go out in the path of Allah Ta'ala, and we are practically taught to link and attach ourselves to the masjid, my respected brothers. Not because this is what Sahaba did out in the path of Allah, Sahaba did this at home. But to train us, because this ummah shifted so far away from Qarn-e Ula, from the direct practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this training is given to us in the path of Allah to link and attach ourselves to amal of masjid. So when you go out in the path of Allah, like I mentioned, time is very, very limited. It is impossible to go into detail, tafsil of the amal that we have to involve ourselves, dawat, ta'lim, ibadat, khidmat, etc. The amal of masjid, how to conduct ourselves in the various masajid, my respected brothers, we will, Allah has given us the tawfiq, we are coming out in our various jamaats, there are zimedars, these muzakaras will take place, we should try as much as possible to engage ourselves, make our time valuable, every second of this time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is valuable, let us spend our time correctly, very, very important, and this I will conclude, our guest Sheikh is here, the dua will take place shortly, very, very important, my respected brothers. When we are out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is to make ihtimam of two things. One is our ta'aleem and the other is our zikr. Learning and teaching and zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hazrat Maulana Ilyas sahab rahmatullahi alayhi, in his malfuzat, it is mentioned that jo aadmi Allah ke raaste mein nikalte hai, that person who goes out in the path of Allah aur zikr aur ta'aleem ka ihtimam nahi karte hai, uska nikalna awara gardegi ki tarah hai. It's to say that that person who goes out in the path of Allah and is not paban with his infiradi amal, that is his zikr, his tahajjud, his awabin, his nawafil, etc., his ishraq, etc. If he is not paban with that and he is not paban with his ta'aleem, Hazrat Maulana used to say that he is wasting his time in the path of Allah. He is wasting his time in the path of Allah. So very, very important, my respected brothers. Let us, 40 days or 4 months in the path of Allah is not that period. It's not that period. What does 40 days in the path of Allah means? It means 40 days of tahajjud. It means 40 days of ishraq. It means 40 days of our daily tasbihat, morning and evening, minimum 100 times durood sharif, 100 times istighfar, 100 times third kalima. It means 40 days of ta'aleem. Our elders are saying in the morning ta'aleem, at least 2.5 hours. Tafsil of it later on will take place when we are out. Now they are saying even sometime, ishtimai ta'aleem in the afternoon should take place also. And with that our infiradi ta'aleem, just to digress, Ramadan is coming, so we are encouraged that in every masjid, Fazail-e Ramadan should be read at the onset of Ramadan to remind us of the virtues of the month of Ramadan. And after Ramadan till Hajj, Fazail-e Hajj. So it is 40 days of those amal that are taught to us. 40 days of gush, 40 days of mulaqat. What our elders are saying, that at least 25 not people, 25 times. The complete da'wat of Allah's greatness should be given every day in the path of Allah. And we must have this irada, have this intention, have this determination, that now I am going out in the path of Allah. Ya Allah, you have given me the tawfiq. Let me make this time valuable. Show Allah how we value this time. Have this intention that if one day's tahajjud or one day's amal gets left out while I'm out in the path of Allah, I'm going to start my time again. All of us will try and do this, say inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah.